The following program is a production of Holy Spirit Radio.
Welcome to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified GYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And now here are your hosts for NFP for Life, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. Betty and I are very pleased to be here with you today, and we think that we have a fairly up-to-date and somewhat exciting program to bring to you today. And as we always do, I would like Betty to be able to open with a prayer. Betty?
Good afternoon, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O divine and merciful Father, hear the prayers of your faithful through the intercession of John Paul II, who gave us many saints to aid us and a deeper understanding of the mystery of suffering. Draw us to salvation through our suffering. And if it be your will, let healing and conversion commence upon us for our good and the good of the whole world. Let no one be left in exile from the grace of God. May what is lacking in the flesh be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. May the healing and conversions of all Catholic physicians and our prayers through the intercession of John Paul II be brought before your heavenly throne, where you will exalt the graces needed in whatever measure you deem it fit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. One of the reasons that we were offering that prayer through the intercession of John Paul II is that Betty and I just are coming back from about 2 weeks ago of attending the National Catholic Medical Association Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, which was a beautiful three-day reflection on women's health care based on theology of the body. And we had some absolutely amazing and wonderful discussions. We had the presence of three Catholic bishops who joined us, Bishop Vasha from Baker, Oregon, Archbishop Wilton Gregory, who gave the keynote speech at our banquet dinner, and Bishop Baker, who's the new bishop of in Alabama. And so we had some great talks with Johnette Benkovic and yours truly, and some great discussions on psychiatry. And so we thought the theology of the body and the sanctity and the integrity of the body and the holiness of the body were all very appropriate topics. And I am quite disturbed and somewhat incensed. And Betty has me tied to the chair right now because of the articles that have been in the news this past week with respect to middle school in Portland, Maine, who has decided in their infinite secular atheistic wisdom to allow a clinic to be opened in the school to dispense hormonal contraceptive therapy as well as condoms to the students in the middle school and in the ages of 11, 12, and 13. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about some other topical issues referable to emergency contraception and whether or not it should be given to rape victims, because currently there's a bill in the House of Representatives in the state of Pennsylvania, and there was another bill that was passed just a couple of weeks ago before the CMA meeting in Connecticut. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So this is kind of a news update on what's going on in certain areas of the country with respect to the abuse of the human body and the what I consider to be the ridiculous approaches and that adults have, mature, seemingly well-doing, well-meaning adults have with respect to children. So we certainly would invite you to call us.
Yes, give us a call. We'd love to hear your comments or questions at 215-345-1570. And Les mentioned the Catholic Medical Association meeting in Atlanta that we just came from. And it was in honor of theology of the body, but the main topic really was theology of the body and women because of women's health care. I don't know that women are being treated through the healthcare system with great care as far as hormonal contraceptions, Plan B, morning after pill, things like that. Women's true health care and their psychological health care and their emotional health care as well as their physical health care, are they really being compromised? And we feel that they are. And not just through the teachings of the Catholic Church, but also through the society today. We're being brainwashed into thinking that these things are acceptable to give our young children, not just adult women, but children. And we as Catholics and responsible adults and responsible parents need to speak out against this because it's getting ridiculous. Now, it's almost laughable.
And for those of you who have not heard, I'm going to review the information specifically about the article, but I would really, I know that there are people out there listening who have young daughters, and I would really like to challenge you to call the radio station at 215-345-1570 and tell us whether or not you would be agreeable in any way, shape, or form to allow your 11-year-old daughter or 12-year-old daughter to agree to be able to go to a clinic in their public middle school financed by your tax dollars, a public school, to go get hormonal contraceptive therapy. And we're going to address some of the issues, both social, some of them political, some of them economic, some of them medical. And I'm going to address it predominantly from the medical issue because I'm appalled. I am just totally appalled as a physician. I'm not a pediatrician. I don't take care of children, but I do practice in women's health care. And I don't know what this school board in Portland, Maine was thinking about, but there is a school in Portland, Maine, the King Middle School, where the school board introduced the idea of placing a health clinic. They've been giving out condoms now at this middle school for the last 5 years. And so they've decided that they're not doing a good enough job because in the last 4 years, they had a total, I think, of 17 pregnancies in the last 4 years, not counting miscarriages or abortions that weren't reported to the school nurse in 3 middle schools. So that's 11, 12, 13, and I guess maybe 14-year-olds. I guess it's 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So in response to that, because they figured the condoms aren't working, so we need to go to the next level. So they decided that they're going to dispense hormonal contraception, both in the form of the pill and the patch. And I'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. And after an adequate discussion at the level of the school board, they voted 7-2 to approve this. And then they had a meeting with the parents to make an announcement. A significant number of parents, and this was on all the world news tonight and Katie Couric the other night, all spoke to the fact that this was happening, but they really didn't render an opinion one way or the other. But they did show parents getting up protesting and saying, what are you people thinking? Are you out of your minds? What are you doing? These are children, 11 years old. They're not even mature enough to be able to do this. Yes, they may engage in sexual activity, but where are the parents? And these parents need to do this. And yet there were some doofus parents getting up and saying, well, I certainly would prefer my child to discuss their sexuality and their activity with us, but in the event that they don't, I'm really glad that the school has a program to back us up to protect them from all of the things that might happen from their engaging in sexual activity.
At age 11.
At the age of 11.
Wow.
Now, I want you to turn around and look at your 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old, if you have them. And I want you to think about them being sexually active. And I want you to think about them in a public school. And I want you to call us and tell us what your thoughts are and whether or not you're completely against this or whether or not you think that there's any rationale support to the possibility that this might occur. We already have a phone call from Lisa from Yardley at St. Ignatius Parish. Lisa, good afternoon. Thank you for calling our program.
Hi, it's so good to hear you. Thank you for all the hard work you're doing for us out here.
Well, thank you, Lisa, for giving us a call.
What do you think about this?
Well, you know, I think this is an atrocity. But what I really think is so sad is, like, for instance, I do have an 11-year-old daughter. And my age group, people of my age who have 11-year-olds, are generally uncatechized. These parents are, they fall right into the trap of how Planned Parenthood operates, which is they go in, establish roots, very quiet, and all of a sudden one day, you know, they are entrenched in our in our society, in our culture. And the people just, you know, the parents, unfortunately, have blinders, and they're not even able to see. They can't even get to the root of this. And what I think is even more horrific is the fact that if you want to discuss the horrific atrocity of abortion, it's like, oh my gosh, we can't talk about that. And yet we're so willing to throw our children to the wolves. But yet, you know, this unfortunate situation in our country, our culture, is continuing. And I am really encouraged. I am so excited about this 40 Days for Life. Because a lot of people are out there, you know, who are like, you know, I really am against Planned Parenthood. I'm against their, you know, what they're promoting out there. But there's no real programs in the secular culture that would be like a net for these people. And in the parishes now, at the grassroots level, by getting people to actually present their body in front of these clinics prayerfully is really changing a lot of hearts. And you're getting people together who are afraid to talk to their children about sex. They're afraid to tell their children about chastity. They don't know how to really approach it. It's still a taboo thing, believe it or not, for as advanced as we are. And yet, if you come out to these clinics, the people that are there praying are all like-minded. And it becomes, you kind of pierce all that mystery, and it becomes very sane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real boost. And you're getting people who normally are just, you know, in front of their TVs, either they're hypnotized or they're just, you know, what can I do? You know, there's nothing I can do. It's like, yeah, that's a part of our world. And it's not, and it shouldn't be. And this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us to continue to also operate like Planned Parenthood, get down at the grassroots level and infiltrate people and kind of open their eyes and say, what is atrocious is what Planned Parenthood's doing and abortion, and it's okay to stand up, and it's okay to take a stand and show your children through your actions. And it's okay to bring little kids to this prayerful vigil. People, oh, I can't do that. But you know what? It's the most healthy thing they can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Go as a family and take your children.
Go as a family. Yeah. And look at the wonderful people there, the grandparents, yep. The young kids. It's intergenerational. It's our family. It's God's family. And it's, we don't even have to say too much. We pick up that rosary, and guess who does the work?
Well, we were there the other night, and while we were standing there, coming through the bushes, and it kind of made me nervous, was a whole family, a mom and a dad and their two sons. And they just stopped by. They were riding by. They had errands to do after dinner. And they stopped by to pray the rosary.
Wow.
They couldn't stay the whole hour, but they needed to be there that evening to pray the rosary.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, how beautiful. And then when the hour got to be up, there were six people that just showed up from every parish. I mean, six different parishes. And we all introduced each other. And every one of us was from a different parish. So it was beautiful. And you could tell that these were people that weren't normally the ones that would go there on a Friday.
Right.
Because they may be at work or whatever. But now they had the opportunity to stand there and pray. and know that they were trying to do their little part to go for 40 days for life. And I really appreciate you bringing that up, Lisa, because it was really powerful.
It
was beautiful. And to go there and just be in that candlelight in the dark was awesome, praying the rosary. I was amazed. I left work. I just got in the door, and I was all flustered from work, and it was so calming and peaceful in the presence of God and Mary and all those holy people, and it was awesome.
And I think it's important that we continue to invite.
Yes.
Because a lot of people still really, even within parish level, mm-hmm. You say, listen, could you come out and stand for an hour prayerfully? Oh, no, but, well, okay, could you at least pray
right.
for this intention? Because you're hitting them, and maybe they haven't considered, mm-hmm. what it means to have an abortion clinic where they're murdering little babies daily. Maybe they haven't considered that. It could be their own kids, and they don't know it. And just invite them.
Exactly.
Just continue to invite. And
well, they said that some of the person there was saying that they knew someone that worked nearby, and the person that worked nearby drove by every day, and they really didn't realize. But since there's 40 days for life going on, 24 hours a day, people in that neighborhood and in that work environment along that road there realize that's where Planned Parenthood is.
Exactly.
Isn't this amazing? I never knew it was there because it's hidden behind the bushes. And people aren't really seeing the name on the building or
anything. Isn't
that
where Satan hid behind the bush when he tempted Eve?
I think so.
Well, Lisa, thanks so much for your call.
I want to make one more comment. That
sure.
The perpetual adoration, when this whole unfortunate law in 1973 occurred, I don't know what the state of perpetual adoration in our country was, but it's taken us this many years to outnumber the abortion clinics in this country with perpetual adoration chapels. And that's really the grassroots, because every single perpetual adoration chapel is set up with a specific intention to end abortion and end the culture of death and contraception and resurrect the culture of life and love. And so we're just taking what we've been doing for years, at least at St. Ignatius. I know we have the blessing of 10 years of perpetual adoration, and now we are doing that very same thing, but in a present form. We're taking Jesus in our hearts. It took us that long maybe to put him, have him grow in our hearts, and now bring him to the sidewalk in front of our enemy, where we're praying for our enemy. And, unfortunately this year, from what I understand, this clinic's lease is expiring, and someone may want to confirm that, but and we're hoping that this public pressure will cause it to hopefully just not be renewed.
Well, we ought to find out who holds the lease, and we ought to get a group together to lease the space and put an adoration chapel right in that location.
And a real women's health center.
Yeah, yeah. And put a crisis pregnancy center there and offer women correct options and good choices and offer appropriate health care and adoption. And I'll tell you, I'll be one of the first docs to go up there and volunteer to work.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Les. Thank you for everything you're doing, Betty and Dr. Les.
Thank you, Lisa, for giving us this call.
All right, thanks. Take care. God bless. Have a good day. So there you have it, someone with an 11-year-old who is absolutely appalled. And I think that, the ramifications go beyond even what we've minimally discussed up until now, because, as was mentioned, these 11-year-old girls are children. Of course, the boys get off the hook. They're not involved. A lot of parents are sitting there saying, well, my 11-year-old's not doing anything. And then a lot of other parents are saying, well, if my 11-year-old does anything, I certainly want them to have the education and the opportunity to have health care. And I'll just make a couple of little points, and Betty can chime in if she thinks of something that I don't remember. But you can't go get your ears pierced at the piercing booth at the mall without your parents' permission, and unless you're over 18. But your 11-year-old could go into this office and get a prescription from a doctor or a nurse practitioner. They will have a doctor or a nurse practitioner there. And I saw the picture of the room, and there was a GYN exam table there. I just can't imagine, you know, your 11-year-old going in. And
getting a physical exam without their parent. But what appalls me...
In the public school where your right. tax dollars are paying for the land and the building and the heat and the air conditioning and the space... And who went out and bought this GYN table? And what doctor and nurse? Who's being paid for what, when, where, and how? And does your health insurance kick into this, or is it free? And are they giving these things away for free? And the laws in Maine have confidentiality statements that mandate that if your child, and I will use the word child loosely, but your child goes in there and gets contraception, you will not be notified as the parent because it would violate your child's confidentiality. Are you kidding me?
Well, if you have a comment or a question or you would like to call, please give us a call. 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. If you have a comment about this, what really I find very appalling is that adults would violate a child. I think they should be ashamed of themselves. When I think about how we as adult human beings should be protecting the child, isn't this abuse? I mean, it borders on child abuse. If you're handing a child medication that requires a doctor's signature, it just boggles my mind. But on the other hand, I hope that this stirs up such a roar, even though it's negative, that the positive people are going to come out against this and make this so ridiculous that it's all going to go away, hopefully. But people do not, mothers and fathers don't want to talk to their children about their beautiful sexuality and why God made them. They don't want to go there. But they will hand them medication where a kid doesn't even know how it works or why it works.
Or what they're taking or the risks. How can you explain risk benefits to an 11-year-old? How can you explain that there's an increased risk of blood clots, phlebitis, heart attacks, stroke, breast cancer, cervical cancer? All the things that are documented in the package inserts. How can you explain how this works when they haven't even had a biology course to understand how their body works, fertility, ovulation, menstrual cycles? Some of the 11 and 12-year-olds aren't even having their menstrual cycles yet, and yet these kids average between 11 ages and 13. Let me read to you some of the comments that are associated with the articles referable to this announcement. One of them, it's very rare that middle schools do this, said a spokeswoman for the National Assembly on School-Based Healthcare. Portland has three middle schools, and we mentioned that they reported 17 pregnancies in the last 4 years. The Portland School Committee approved this plan offered by the city health officials. What's the city of Portland thinking about? I think the people in Portland ought to vote those people out of office in the next election. On a 7-2 vote on Wednesday night, the school in question is the only one of three schools with a health center, primarily because it has more students who get free or reduced-priced lunches, said one of the representatives who oversees Portland's student health centers. How do you connect the health center and reduced-priced lunches? Oh, I see. You're talking about maybe a lower socioeconomic class of students. Isn't that exactly what Margaret Sanger was trying to do with Planned Parenthood when she opened all of her original Planned Parenthoods in the inner city so that she could ethnically cleanse those races that she wanted to wipe out by not allowing them to reproduce? Are you kidding me? Five of the 134 students who visited King's Health Center during the 2006-2007 school year reported having sexual intercourse. So there's 134 students that went to the health center. Five of them said that they were sexually active. So now we're going to have a plan to give out hormonal contraceptives to cover those five.
Well, I think that they need to have, you know, classes. If they're going to have this, have classes on abstinence and understanding your body and how you should not be giving your body to another outside of marriage, that someone is using your body and it's not appropriate
now
behavior.
Here are some of the quotes from some of the parents. This one woman is a committee member. She's the mother of an eighth grader at the school. She supported the policy even though it made her, quote unquote, uncomfortable. Another parent said, I know I've done my job as a parent, but there may be a time when my daughter doesn't feel comfortable coming to me, and not all these kids have strong parental advocates at home. Then the chairman opposed the change, saying the roles of social agencies and public schools have blurred over the years. At some point, there needs to be a cleaning of that gray line. The only other parent that voted no Wednesday was a parent who said a parental consent form allowing students to receive any kind of treatment at the school health center does not clearly define the services being offered, which is the other point. Your kid can't go to the nurse's office at school to get an aspirin without your written consent. But now they're going to be able to go and get hormonal steroid contraceptives, one of which is the patch. I mentioned this before, and I know that you hear the excitement in my voice. But
Calm down, Les.
I can't believe this, but the patch has been there is a class action suit going on right now in the United States against the manufacturers of the patch, that there have been 19 documented deaths of women between the ages of 19 and 29 who are perfectly healthy from blood clots because of the dose of hormones. Now, you take these children, they're all a little younger, they're all a little smaller. They don't have the body weight that a 19-year-old has. They don't have the maturational physiological development that a 19-year-old has. They're all small. I have an 8-year-old granddaughter. I know how much she weighs and how big she is. Can you imagine not much bigger at the age of 11 that you're giving the dose of these hormonal contraceptives? One of these kids gets a patch put on, throws a blood clot, and has a complication with a stroke or a heart attack or dies. There are no studies on hormonal contraceptives in 11, 12, and 13-year-olds. None. That is the gold standard for health care for the Food and Drug Administration to approve a drug. The Food and Drug Administration is not involved in this. The federal government's not involved in this. This is a local school district, a school that's making this decision to bring in health care from the outside and prescribing these products for 11 and 12-year-olds. And two people on the board voted against it, and the other seven, whoever they are, God forgive them, voted in favor of it. There was another opponent, parent, who said that he felt that the proposal violated the rights of the parents and put students at the risk of cancer because of hormones in the pill. But supporters said a small number of students at King are sexually active and they need better access to birth control. And they also commented that this is not encouraging the kids to have sex. This is about the kids who are already engaging in sexual activity, and that the birth control prescriptions at the school will be given after the student undergoes a physical examination by a physician or a nurse practitioner.
Wow.
Now, you want your kid to be going in at 11 and 12 and having a breast exam and a pelvic exam and potentially a pap smear at the age of 11 or 12 by a physician that you don't know, that you've never met, or a nurse practitioner, even worse yet, that you don't know and never met, who may not adequately assess your child's needs medically, and then is going to turn around and give these prescriptions to your children that have all these potential negative medical side effects and you don't know it because there's a confidentiality law in the state government that says that once these children receive these medications, they don't have to notify the parents. It's the same notification law that Planned Parenthood works under, where your child in the state of Pennsylvania can go procure an abortion, a surgical abortion, and kill a pregnancy, and there is no parental notification law. There is a 24-hour waiting period, but there is no parental notification law. So your 11, 12, or 13, or 14-year-old in Pennsylvania can go get a surgical abortion at Planned Parenthood, the number one provider of abortions in the world, and especially in the United States, a group and organization that receives your federal tax dollars, and you have no control over it, and they get subsidized by tax money. And they are doing the same thing. To me, I see this as just a mini branch of a Planned Parenthood in a public school.
Absolutely.
At 6th or 7th or 8th grade. And like Lisa said, you know, what are they doing? So we're out there with the 40 Days for Life praying 24/7 that the Planned Parenthood in Warminster in Bucks County, immediately adjacent to where we are here at the radio station, a few miles away, that's providing over 1,000 surgical abortions a year, and God knows how many prescriptions for birth control pills, which statistically and by most medical information does provide what is referred to as a post-fertilization effect, in that at least in a certain percentage of times, because of the way birth control pills work and the way the morning after pill works, that there are times that it would prevent the implantation of a baby into the wall of the uterus. Now, that's been documented throughout literature. There's no way that it can be scientifically proven, but there's no way that it can be scientifically disproven. So if even the potential occurs for that to happen, in medicine, we take the Hippocratic Oath that says that we will not provide any drug or medication or object that will abort a pregnancy, and first do no harm. So even if there is a question that these products might have a post-fertilization, or I'll be less kind and say an abortifacient effect, then we should not even consider giving these. So there are medical abortions that are occurring as a result of these hormonal contraceptives. Now, I know that we need to be kind and considerate to our brothers and sisters in Christ out there who may not accept Catholic Church teaching on contraception and who may be using contraceptives. And I would encourage you that if you don't want to look at it from a religious and spiritual point of view, at least look at it from a medical point of view. And from a parental point of view, you parents who are giving your children permission to go into these health centers, you are abrogating your rights as parents. It is your responsibility to educate your children, and it is your responsibility to take care of your children. And the parents who are in the class action suit against Ortho Pharmaceuticals for the patch that's been on the market for 4 years, where their 19 to 29-year-old children died as a result of complications from this product, they're now going to give this product to 11 and 12 and 13-year-olds.
If you have a question or a comment, please feel free to call us at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. And I just want to bring up the topic one more time about this 40 Days for Life. Most of the parishes have sign-ups for 40 Days for Life, and it's 24 hours a day that people are there praying the rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and you're meeting other people that have the same belief as you do, and it's giving you an opportunity to be able to pray at that location, maybe because you can't get there any other time that they normally pray there. But I want you to realize, if you have not signed up in your parish, you can still go there. Go to Lewis Drive, right off of Street Road, and one light past Jacksonville Road and Street Road.
Going west on Street Road.
Is Lewis Drive, and it's less than a quarter of a mile down the road on the left. And you can come there and show up and bring your rosary and be prepared to stand there and pray. Even if you can't stay for the whole hour, stay for a rosary and go 15 minutes. But at least you are making witness there that you oppose this Planned Parenthood and this vile act of abortion. So if you have any questions or comments about our topic today, I know it's a little heavy, but it's important that this be brought out. I would love for you to call us, 215-345-1570. If you have young children and you just oppose other people making choices for your child, you know, call us. Tell us what you would think about that, 215-345-1570.
And in addition to parents, and I know there have to be parents out there that have children that are close to 11 or 11 or a little just beyond 11, people that have children in middle schools right here in Pennsylvania. And I'm going to talk about something else that's going on in our state. You may say, well, it's in Portland, Maine. It's up in New England. It really doesn't affect us. I'm going to mention a few things about that. But even grandparents, you know, we have an extended family situation here. We are grandparents of six beautiful grandchildren, and three of whom are girls. And they're going to come to an age at some point in time where their parents are going to have to address this. And we are very open and very vocal with our sons and our daughters-in-law, not telling them how to parent, but they know the truth about these medications, and they know the truth about abortion and about contraception and what the Catholic Church teaches. And there is an insidious attempt all over the country to creep in to change laws here and there. In Washington State, the morning after pill is available over the counter through pharmacists. In Mississippi, they passed a bill to allow stem cell research that went to the Supreme Court and passed to allow embryonic stem cell research. In Portland, Maine, they're giving out birth control pills in middle schools. Right before we went to the Catholic Medical Association meeting, Connecticut introduced a bill into their House, and the legislature was about to pass it that mandated that all hospitals, emergency rooms, who see rape victims be required to give them the morning after pill as part of their treatment. That included all of the Catholic hospitals in Connecticut. And under pressure and duress politically, the four Catholic bishops in Connecticut agreed to allow the Catholic hospital emergency rooms to administer the morning after pill. Now, I've done programs here on this program. I've done programs on television. I think that you know where I'm coming from. The morning after pill, based on clinical data, in the best circumstances of typical use, only has a 72% success rate. There has never been a double-blinded, placebo-controlled study on the safety of the morning after pill. Not only that, but it increases the risk of ectopic pregnancies by over 6%, documented in studies in Scotland and in the United Kingdom. Ectopic pregnancies are the number one cause of maternal mortality in the United States. This product is now being released to over-the-counter use nationally, federally, for those of you who don't know, to 18-year-olds. And all you have to do is go in and show an ID. You don't think that the 14 and 15 and 16-year-olds are getting their girlfriends that are 18-year-old using their ID to go in and get them the morning after pill the same way they do cigarettes? There's no physician oversight for this. There's an experience of 5 years in Sweden stating that rather than there being a decrease in abortions, which is what was touted by the American College of OBGYN and by the manufacturer and distributor of the morning after pill, Plan B, that there would be a decrease in abortions. And so they say, all you pro-lifers out there, you want to see a decrease in abortion? You allow the morning after pill to be available over the counter. You're going to see a 50% decrease in abortions in this country. And a lot of pro-lifers are thinking, well, you know, there's 1.5 million abortions going on. We're trying to close the abortion mill up at Planned Parenthood in Warminster on Lewis Drive with this 40 Days for Life. And so, yeah, I'd like to see it be cut in half. So I think the morning after pill over the counter is a good idea. Well, in Sweden, after 5 years, there was no decrease in abortions. There was a 31% increase in abortions because of the increased sexual promiscuity and the assumption that the availability of this medication would be able to prevent pregnancy. And it fails 28% of the time. So women are being duped. In addition to which, you're taking 10 to 15 times the dose of the hormonal content of the regular contraception. On top of that, there's a 23% increase in sexually transmitted diseases documented in the literature. Now, the reason why the Catholic bishops in Connecticut have allowed or approved or given in to the pressure from the government relative to this particular issue is because they said, well, they're really not sure how it works. Well, there's absolutely no question of the potential for the post-fertilization effect that's documented in the literature. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because right now in the House of Representatives in Pennsylvania, House Bill number 288 is an act for providing a requirement for hospitals and healthcare facilities that provide services to sexual assault victims to provide information and services related to emergency contraception, and for the powers and duties of the Department of Health to mandate that particular prescription, which means that if passed, every Catholic hospital in the state of Pennsylvania seeing a victim of rape, and I will tell you, I have the absolute utmost in compassion and sensitivity as a Catholic and as a Christian and as a physician, that these women have already been traumatized enough through this horrific act. But you cannot do an evil to achieve a good, and contraception is intrinsically evil, and abortion is intrinsically evil, and therefore you cannot do an evil to achieve a good. So the Catholic Medical Association had a resolution in 2003 after doing significant study, scientific, physician, theologian, philosophical, economic, medical, spiritual, prayerful, evaluating this entire situation, and came up with a resolution that under no circumstances should a Catholic physician or a Catholic hospital dispense emergency contraception. Now, the reality is that the majority of women who are raped are elderly, not fertile, already sterilized, already on contraception, and not susceptible to getting pregnant, and that the incidence of pregnancies associated with rape is extremely small. Now, you know, I was on a radio or television program where people were freaked out and upset that how could I be so dispassionate toward this horrific crime and what this woman now would be required to carry. And the one woman said, this evil product,
this monster,
yeah,
to full term, and she's going to be traumatized by this pregnancy. I understand that there's a lot of emotion that's tied up in this. But on the other side, we Catholics and we Christians, through the media, through radio, through this Catholic radio station, Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 AM, through Catholic television, EWTN, through our priests, through our pulpits, through our adult education programs, through everything that we have in our power to evangelize, should go out there and spread this message. We have more people on our side to do good than they do on the side to do evil. So we need to encourage you to become informed, to contact your representatives. that for your districts to contact them via email or by telephone call and tell them that they need to vote against House Bill 288 in this next session in the Senate and in the House. And it happens to be Senate Bill 730 in the Senate. And the two of them need to be defeated. And you need to be able to provide them with the adequate information because these representatives are not healthcare providers. They don't know the truth. Leave religion out of it. Just talk about the medical aspects. It doesn't work 28% of the time. It's medically dangerous, and it functions as an abortive fashion. You're contributing to abortions. And I know abortions are legal in the United States, but you need to be able to express yourself in reference to these issues.
Well, and also, it's been brought up that this medication, even if it's available over the counter, has this immense potential to become a world-class date rape drug. And at the very least, to be used to pressure, exploit, and manipulate women, especially young women, for the satisfaction of predatory men. So, you know, think about the ramifications of this. This is frightening. We need to be calm, responsible parents and try and put the brakes on all this promiscuity and this appearance of, you know, this is fun, and bring back the sacredness of our sexuality, our human sexuality. And it's our responsibility to start doing that, and we need to do it now. It's just getting worse and worse. And, you know, I know you can't sit down and watch a television show, and the TV shows are really bad. But worst of all are the commercials for the birth control pill or Viagra or whatever it is. I don't need to know that, and I don't need to watch that in my own home. I wind up turning the television off. But, you know, we're being saturated with this stuff, and we need to start putting our foot down, notifying these companies that we don't want this. We don't want this on our television while we're sitting there watching TV with our children.
Now, while we're talking about current events, I'm sure all of you are aware that earlier this week, also in the news, and this is not necessarily directly related to the topic, but somewhat peripherally related to the topic, that they withdrew all of the pediatric cough and cold formulas from all the shelves and all the markets and all the pharmacies, and it was a voluntarily withdrawal by the drug companies that manufacture these products because they were never found to be safe in use of children under two. A little bit later in the week, in a committee study that was reported to the government with a panel of pediatricians, they've decided to now recommend that these products, the cough and cold formulas, antihistamines and decongestants, and here we're talking about antihistamines and decongestants for allergies and coughs and colds, should not be used in children under the age of six because they have never been tested, nor have they been documented to provide any benefit. How many of you have given your children all kinds of cough and cold formulas, nose drops, antihistamines, decongestants, cough medicines when they were 3, 4, 5, and 6 years old, even recommended by your pediatricians and your family doctors, not knowing any better? So we don't know everything that we need to know about drugs. Another news item that you probably won't hear too much about is that the Food and Drug Administration gave a new black box warning to all of the erectile dysfunction drugs, which includes Viagra, Levitra, and Cialis. You probably won't see this on the commercials, but there has been an increase since 1998 of the sudden loss of hearing in men who take these products. So, in the interest of wanting to improve your sexual function, for whatever reason that you may choose to want to do that, and there's nothing wrong with human sexuality and the desire, but it mostly has to do less with marital intimacy and more with extramarital intimacy, that One of the side effects that these men can be subjected to is a sudden loss of hearing, which is permanent. So now that will be in the black box warning, which I'm sure most physicians will not be relaying to men, although I'll bet you more physicians tell men about that than OBGYN physicians tell women about the potential side effects of their hormonal contraceptives. So I hope that you out there listening have got a sense of the intensity of passion that I have, Betty and I both, me being in healthcare, women's healthcare, a little bit more verbal. And I've seen 12-year-olds in my practice pregnant. And the youngest patient, I've mentioned this many times, that we delivered was a 12-year-old in seventh grade about 8 or 9 years ago. And yes, somewhere in the neighborhood of 18 to 20% of 14-year-olds up to the age of 14 are engaging in sexual activity. This is adult activity. This is intended for a marital relationship only. Where are the parents? And what are we doing with our children that they even have the opportunity in a middle school to become sexually active? Who's not watching these children? Where are they in school? And what are they doing when they come home? And where are the parents? I don't think there was a moment of the day when our children were in seventh grade that they weren't in the presence of some sort of adult supervision.
But the adult supervision now at the in the public school is a little frightening if they can send them to the nurse or the health clinic. I mean, they're not being protected by the adults anymore. Really, I mean, that's what's so scary. And you have to make your own decision with your own family, and you have to be aware of it. But we only have about maybe 8 more minutes. So if anybody has a call or a comment, 215-345-1570. We'd love to hear from you.
A few quick announcements that I'd like to make before we run out of time, because I really don't want to do this at the last minute. But, you know, part of the purpose of this radio station, spiritually and generally, is to evangelize in the new millennium. And we are in the new millennium, and Betty and I like to think of what we do and how we do it as being part of the evangelization process. And so announcing other venues and other avenues of evangelization is certainly appropriate, although it has nothing to do with the topic at which we're discussing today. But I think that both Lisa's phone call and our comments should fall on ears that hopefully will take them to heart and really think and pray about this entire issue and get out and start learning and evangelizing about this topic. And one of the singular event programs that's being offered tomorrow morning, in fact, at St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish in Yardley, Pennsylvania, is being presented by Father Christopher Walsh. And Father Walsh is going to discuss the history of the Catholic Church the first 500 years. And this program will begin at 9:30 in the auditorium of the church at St. Ignatius at 999 Reading Avenue in Yardley, and will proceed until about 11 o'clock. We have word that approximately 40 or 50 people are already attending this program. We may have more. One of the things that we have talked about frequently is that people don't know what the church teaches. If you want to find out how your church got started and you want to find out how the church got to be the way it is today, then come tomorrow morning at 9:30. You'll get a free continental breakfast, and you'll be treated to one of the highlights. Father Walsh is one of the great speakers and teachers that I've ever run across in the last 10 years, and he's a great guy, and the program is free. And he's going to present a follow-up on February 16th, the history of the church, the years 1500 to 2000. So here you have the opportunity to attend two programs, one tomorrow and one in February, talking about 1,000 years of Catholic Church history to know where we came from, how we got to be who we are, and where we're going and what we're doing. And you have the opportunity to ask questions. So I think that that's a really great program. another program that will be coming up in a few weeks on November the 17th, also a Saturday, will be Saints and Spirituality, presented by Sister Michelle Donnelly. We had her last year, and she gave a great program. And then for the first time ever, we're going to do a Friday night at the movies, the Nativity Story at St. Ignatius of Antioch in Yardley. So you can access all the information on these programs at the parish website, which is www.stignatiusyardley.org. You can register for the programs, get the information, and find out the times. Again, we ask you to prayerfully consider all these issues and notify and become politically active. We have an election coming up in a couple of weeks. I want you to pray on, and if not, if you don't have a copy, we've done programs on this before about Catholic Voters Guide, and we appreciate your tuning in, and we're going to end now with a prayer, and we thank you for joining us and listening to what we have to say, and you can re-listen to this program on the website of the radio station. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.